light on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I'd like to, at the beginning of this week, pick up where I left off last week. I was talking about the beginning of the second letter of St. Peter, and in it, St. Peter gives us such a glorious vision of who we are in Christ, what God has done to us, talks about the precious, the very great and precious promises of Jesus Christ. And as I've been thinking about the program, just thinking about the many people I meet as I travel across the country doing men's conferences and parish missions and things like that, how many people I meet are struggling with their faith on one level or another. And one of the things that's clear to me is that many of us are more aware and more conscious of what we're supposed to do or what we have failed to do. And we can be dominated by disappointment or dominated by guilt or dominated by shame, whatever it might be, and live with a kind of sense that God is a little bit at a distance and we don't know how to cross over that divide that's present, that somehow the promises of God, the deep, profound, life-changing, personal promises of God that are meant for each and every one of us, somehow they don't penetrate our hearts, don't penetrate our mind. So one of the reasons I labored over this last week, just really happily read through the thing time and time again and talked about it, is because every line here is just loaded with life-changing truth, the truth that comes right from the mouth of God, from the person of Jesus Christ, who is Lord, who reigns at the right hand of the Father, and he's got you in mind. He really does. He's got each one of us in mind. Jesus was sent by the Father. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Jesus was sent by the Father to go in search of a lost race of people, made by God, made for God, but fallen from glory. He knows who we are. He knows what we're meant to be. And he knows the dilemma, the condition that we're in. And he comes to pursue each one of us. Sometimes we feel like we have to fight to get his attention, but that's more a struggle in us, and it's a lack of knowledge that we have, a deep faith of who Christ is for us, that he's with us always, that he's present. And the way we cross over, the way we get through those obstacles or that confusion that keeps the promises of God at arm's length from us, and then as a result keeps us kind of flat in our faith or discouraged at times too often and not living the kind of vital life that Peter's talking about here, it's so key for us to be able to lay hold of these great and precious promises. The more we lay hold of them, the more we understand them, the more we internalize them through the help of the Holy Spirit, the more we will be transformed into them. We will become. Christ has made us a new creation in our baptism, but he knows that what we need to do to live in those promises and live in the truth of being a new creation is to have our mind transformed by the power and work of the Holy Spirit, applying the truth of Christ, the teaching of Scripture, to our mind, to our heart, to our lives, and to be supplemented by the grace of the Holy Spirit given to us in the sacraments, the regular reception of the Eucharist, the regular participation in the sacrament of confession, the daily habits of prayer that bring us quietly into the presence of God, time before adoration, Blessed Sacrament. That's been a big help for me in my life, in my journey, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us in the silence of our hearts. And what does the Holy Spirit want to tell us? He wants to tell us what are the great and precious promises of God that are there for each and every one of us. Not just for the saints, not just for the clergy, but for each and every one of us. So I ended last Friday's program in the sort of middle section of the first chapter where Peter says this in verse 8, "For if these things are yours," that he exhorted us to supplement the faith that we have with virtue and knowledge and self-control and steadfastness and godliness and brotherly affection, and that turn that brotherly affection to love, to consistent love, to sincerely love one another from the depths of our heart to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us to do that. Then in verse 8, he said, "For if these things are yours and they abound, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." I ended as well in chapter 15 of John's Gospel, where Jesus makes it clear that to be a follower, to be a disciple of Jesus, is to be like a vine that's a branch that's united to a vine. The branch lives from the sap and the juice and the life that flows through the vine. Jesus is saying, when you become my disciple, you are now yoked and united to, in communion with, an entirely different power. It's the power of God. It's the eternal life of God. It's the great glory and majesty and beauty that's in the person of Jesus Christ. We're now united to that. And he said, if you abide in me, that is, you stay united to Jesus, and you're open to and you're receiving on a daily basis, just as that branch would receive life that's flowing through that vine, we need to be united to and open to and attached to the Lord each day, and to attach to the sources of life that he gives us. The daily reading of the Word of God, daily prayer, regular, as I said earlier, regular confession, sacraments, the whole of what Christ has given to us in his church and his mission, and participating in his mission. As we do that, he gives us grace and he gives us life. So, and we're living out our vocation, we stay united to Jesus each day in these ways, right? And this communion of saints he's given to us, and the help of Our Lady, all that's there, we abide in Jesus. And as we do that each day, our hearts are set on doing his will. And as we say yes to him, and we cooperate with the power that he's given to us each day in our lives, he will, step by step, bear fruit in us. And Jesus is determined to do that with all his disciples, because he wants to bring glory to the Father. He wants everything in God's creation to glorify God, that is, to fulfill the purpose for which it's made. We can see, friends, a beautiful flower, a glorious mountain, and we see the majesty or the beauty and the glory of that flower, the glory of that mountain. And sometimes it lifts our heart to God. We say, wow, God's amazing. We're giving glory to God. That thing which God created is giving glory to God, and it's moving our hearts. And we who are the crown of creation are meant not only to see that manifested in the things God creates. Each one of us are meant to, made for, the glory of God. And how does that happen? We become everything God meant us to be. We can't do that on our own, in our own fallen nature now, because of the reign of sin in us, as Paul would say, as the fallen dimension. We've fallen from glory. We've followed our own ego. We're subject to the passions of our flesh. We're under the domination of the world in many ways. We are tempted by Satan and the dominion of darkness that's set against us. So what we need is a new power and a new capacity to live like the one who actually came and destroyed all those powers and gave to the Father what belongs to the Father, the glory that's his. Jesus glorified the Father in obeying his commands, and he glorified the Father because he proved the Father was true. What do I mean by that? Jesus entrusted his life to the will of the Father, no matter what it looked like, no matter what it led him to, how tough it was, how much rejection this world would exercise toward him, how much persecution, and finally the horrible crucifixion that he underwent. Jesus said yes to all of it because he knew it would bring glory to God. Why did he know that it would bring glory to God? Because he knew that man was made to do the will of God. He was made for God, and that the commandments God gives are not only for man's good, but it's a way man expresses his relationship with God. I love God by doing what he calls me to do, what he's made me to do. Jesus himself said, if you love me, you're going to obey my commandments. So the idea, Jesus is not into the whole thing where I, you know, in my heart, I feel good about Jesus, but basically I live like the world. You know, statistically, friends, Catholics live no differently. I mean, a large portion of the baptized Catholic population lives no differently than the world. Now, there are Catholics, there are a percentage of Catholics and Christians that are radically dialed into Jesus Christ, and they live very differently than the world. But a big percentage of Catholics, if the polls that are done regularly are to be believed, many Catholics live as if they're enslaved to their passions, enslaved to the world. We're no different on the ideas and the practice of premarital sex, of extramarital sex, of abortion, of drug addiction, you name it. We're there. There's no difference. So what is clear from Jesus' teaching is that fruit-bearing is directly connected to our loving Him through our obedience to Him, saying yes to Him on a daily basis. He knows we're weak. He knows we fall. And He's willing to forgive us 70 times, 7 times a day. But what He's after is a real surrender of our heart to Him. And if we do that each day, He'll lead us into fulfilling the commandments He gives to us, because those direct to the way of life that we're made for. And when we live that way of life, our life bears fruit for God. We're filled with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. And Jesus produces in us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness over time. And that gives glory to God, because we're like the flower. We're radiating, we're being what we were made to be. That's our glory. And that gives God glory. We're both living in freedom and happiness and joy and bearing fruit in our lives. And in doing that, we're like doing the thing we're made for, so it's going to feel right. Even if we're on the cross, it feels right. Jesus knew ultimately that was the place to glorify the Father. Friends, in this life, we have an opportunity. We have the opportunity to hear the voice of God through the word of His Son, who's come not just to free us from sin so we can run off and do whatever we want. He's come to show us the way home. He's come to show us why we exist. What is the purpose of your life? Why do you have a mind and a will and an imagination and a spirit? Why? Why do you have these senses and this capacity to know and to understand, to know the greatness of God and a desire to want to accomplish something in this world? We're made to glorify God. Only Jesus can reveal to us the fullness of what that means. So He comes to you, and He looks you in the eye, and He said, "My son, my daughter, I love you. I'm here to bring you home. But I can't get you from here to there without your full cooperation, without your full surrender." So that's why we see friends who, we see people in the church who, what these stats show us is some people have a toe in the water. They're not all in the water. Some people give a little percentage of their life to God, but their life doesn't change. They don't live in power. They're not bearing fruit. They're not alive in Christ. Why? Because they're hedging their bets, because there's a part of them that they still want to serve because they want the world. I want what the world's got. I want this big enchilada. I want, and yes, I'll do a little bit. I'll pay. I'll give some money to the church, or I'll go to Christmas and Easter Mass, or I'll do this or that. What that does is it keeps us under the domination of the world and the fleshly desires and the passions and the ego-centered life that we're living, that Jesus tells us and the apostles are telling us. This will lead us ultimately to fruitlessness, and we're going to be cut off. We're going to be branches cut off and thrown into the fire. It's a big deal for us to take this teaching seriously. So anyway, friends, we're going to continue again tomorrow. Hope you can tune in. God bless. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.